Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we prepare to open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and a greater understanding of this, your word, so that we can grow thereby. Now, Father, we ask you to be with us throughout the remainder of the service and keep us on that narrow pathway. And we ask this all in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We've been on this series now for 2 weeks. This will be our fifth service on this one teaching of Jesus. Sermon. It is the longest recorded service in the Word of God. Been a good one, and we've been over a lot of things. We may finish it tonight, and we can get started then on something else, but we'll just have to see what the Holy Spirit does with us. And for us, because, you know, he's the one that knows who all is listening. He knows who will download this and listen to it later. And he knows what each and every one of us need. So let's get back into this now. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, which will end the Sermon on the Mount, beginning here with verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? For how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearl before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. And asking, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Well, what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a crooked tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a crooked tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that beareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forth to bring to you and I that message that the Lord our God would have us to hear this day. And we all know that we are living in the last days. We are living in to the end of the age. And it's not going to be as long as what man wants to believe or even wants to think about how close we really are to that. We don't know. No man does. The Word tells us that. Not even the angels in heaven know when it's going to happen. But we have been given things to watch for. And we are told that when we see those things begin, to look up because our redemption draweth nigh. We've been seeing a lot of them going on for quite a while. So we know the things are getting closer and closer. And all that's within the sound of my voice, you need to wake up and listen, because you need to get right with God. If you're not right with Him, you need to wake up and get right with Him, because one day you are going to stand before Him. Whether that's when He comes for the church or when He comes for you as an individual. But one day you are going to step out of this life and into the next. And when you do, you're going to stand before Him and be judged. And the way you've lived your life here, and whether or not you have brought Him into that life, will determine where you will spend eternity. About that, as we get back in to His word here. We know that a lot of this is going on right now, this first verse. We have to be very careful. It says, judge not that you be not judged. Now, he says in verse 2, he says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you might, it shall be measured to you again. He's not telling you and I that we cannot judge anything. For what he is telling us is that we don't judge the being of another person. That's the Lord's work, not ours. Now, we know that if a man is out here being a drunk, doing a lot of things he shouldn't do, we know he's not living right. But we still don't know what is going on within that man. We don't know whether at one time he had accepted the Lord and stepped back. We have no way of knowing anything about the inside of that man unless for some reason the Lord would show us. And if the Lord did that, then he would tell you what to do and you wouldn't be judging him. But when we see someone out here and I've done it before I met the Lord. Seen a lot of them, and I'd just make the statement, they go to hell. You see, I really didn't know. Because I don't know what was inside that person. Now I know what they're doing. At that time wasn't right. But I don't know how they were set with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, when we pass judgment on another person, we're also passing that same judgment before ourselves. So be careful. Or you get yourself in a lot of trouble. And that's exactly what he's telling us here. Said it shall be measured to you again. Now, verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? We all see others out here that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. But we want to talk about that person. And in a lot of ways, in talking, we bring condemnation upon them. And it may be just some little something,
And yet we have something in our own lives that is a lot bigger. And what God's telling us here, don't go trying to straighten him out till you get yourself straight. We get ourselves straight, and then we can help someone else straighten their life out. But make sure that you have got yours straight, first of all, and then, as he goes on here, in 4, and he says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. You see, that mote is just a small speck. It's a small thing. But that beam that's in yours is a lot bigger. You've got to remove it before you can help someone else. Because you've got to get right first with God. We can't help others because until we are standing right with Almighty God, we have no authority or no power that will help them. Because it takes that power and authority of the Holy Spirit to do the work. You and I don't have that power. Especially on our own. But it takes that Holy Spirit. And the only way he's going to flow through us to get the work done is we have to be right with the Lord. We can be used. He'll send us out to touch someone, to pray for them, for different things. And when we touch them, the Holy Spirit will flow through us. And flow through that arm and hand. And touch that one, and the work is done. It ain't you doing it. It's that Holy Spirit that's in you, that's flowing through you, that's doing the work. So we don't need to get all puffed up and think, well, I'm something great. No. And without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, I am strictly nothing but a hunk of flesh. And without them, I'm the one going to end up in hell. So we need to be getting ourselves ready because the Lord is coming for his church. And those that ain't ready is not going. They're going to be left behind. And then they're going to see and live things they cannot even think of. And see things they'll not even want to believe. Even with what's going on out there right now, that's really nothing to what's coming. But there is also a revival coming for us to get involved with and in so that we can be ready, but we can also work with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to help some out of darkness and into the light, getting them ready. You see, God works through mankind, yes. Not because we're worthy, because we're not. But because he loves us. And because we believe in him, then he will use us. But we have so many out here today that is taking God's word, twisting and turning it, and walking in deceit and deceiving many. And that's why it's getting harder and harder
to get people to come to church, because they're not really hearing the Word of God, and they're not seeing the power of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in our churches. They're not seeing it done nowhere. Now, verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. That brings us back, see, because he's talking about things that are spiritual here. These mote and beam he's talking about is spiritual things. It's good and evil things that he's talking about here. In other words, we don't need to be talking about others, looking down on others, because we could be in worse shape than they are. And especially if we happen to be one that is actually talking down on other people, because that's wrong to start with. We're to be praying for other people. And we're to be doing it out of love for them. It don't matter what they are or what they've done. We are to love them and pray for them that they'll find the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll turn their life around, and they'll find their way of making heaven their home. Not to cut them down and drive them further away. But that's what's happening in a lot of places. Now, 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, you know, if you're talking about the dogs and the swine, but really what he's talking about here is he's talking about those that are deliberately rejecting the message of Almighty God and the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But you and I are to pray for that. And we're not just to pray. We are to pray a fervent prayer. A prayer that has got action to it. A prayer that comes from the heart with all sincerity and a true love that comes from Almighty God to us and through us. And when we do that, we'll see great things begin to happen and to take place. And this is what God has been waiting on. He's been looking for men that will stand up with backbone and call things into being that were not. Until he calls them into being. An example. You're going to anoint someone with oil that's sick. You call that wellness into being. You may not see it right then. But does that mean it didn't happen? No. Maybe a few minutes, maybe a few hours, it may be a few days, but it don't mean it didn't happen. Look, when God made promises and all with the prophets in the Old Testament, even
as long alive as they live. Some of them never lived to see that promise come true. But it came true. Isaiah saw the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God let him see that, gave it to him. Even how he was to be born and how he was to die. Isaiah didn't live to see that. It didn't happen for 400 years later. But it happened just like God told Isaiah it would. That's why he says, you have not because you asked not. And he tells us in the scripture, he says, if you'll speak to that mountain and believe in your heart for that mountain to be moved, it'll move. We all have, all of us, we've all got mountains in our lives. But if we will stand on the Word of God and stand in faith, we'll see those mountains crumble. We got a church here. Practically no one in it. But does that keep God out of it? No. Because you see, we bring him here. He's still flowing from this church. He's flowing through this church to others. Right now, we've got more on the outside hearing this message than we got here in. We all don't understand the working of God. We only can understand our part in his work, the part he has for each of us to do. And let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, there is something for you to be doing. Well, you know, I just don't know what he wants of me. Find out. Get in his word and spend time on your knees in prayer, talking with him, and you'll find out what he wants. He'll let you know. And he'll let you know until you won't wonder about it. You know exactly. Ask and it shall be given you. His word, not mine. We just talked about that. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. But he's talking about his children, those that belong to him. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And you see, that's what we do. We go looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We make that choice. We all were born under sin, every one of us. And we will walk and live in sin until we find the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess our sins to him and he covers them with his blood and we bring him into our lives. And then we're still not quite done. Because then we have to have that infilling, indwelling of the Holy Spirit just born again. Without being born again, we will not enter the kingdom of Almighty God. The Word tells us that. You can find that back in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. He told Nicodemus, when he was talking to him about being born again,
that no man could enter the kingdom of heaven unless he was born again. And he tells us what that meant. Because Nicodemus didn't understand it when Jesus was talking to him. He didn't understand what Jesus was telling him until Jesus told him. Nicodemus asked him, how can that be? Can one more old go back into our mother's womb and be born again? Well, no. He told him, we have to be born of the Spirit and of the Word. We've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that through baptism, through water. And then we have to have the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of Almighty God. And then we're told back in the third chapter, the first John, that's when we're born again. Just because we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess our sins, don't mean we're born again. But we got a lot of churches out here teaching people, yes, when you did that, you were born again right now. No, you wouldn't. Now, some are. Some will get it all at one time. But it's very few. In fact, I only know of one in all the years I've been in ministry. I know one lady that got it all. Baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit at the same time. She got it all. But she's the only one I know of, including myself. I was baptized in water a long time before I ever felt the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I had been taught opposite. I was raised in the church. But I was raised in the church that taught just opposite to the Word of God. I was taught that don't happen anymore. That all died when the apostles died. No, it was just getting started. That's when it just started. Now, nine, for what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Now he's talking to you and I about how we treat our children. If he's in need of bread, are we going to give him a stone? No. Or if he asks a fish, will we give him a serpent? Not likely. We're going to give him what he asks for if we possibly can. And we think it's not going to hurt him. And he goes on here in 11. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He's going to treat you better than you'll treat your own. And he's letting us know it right there. And he knows how. He knows how to get it to you too. And he knows exactly what you need even before you ask. But he tells you to ask. He says you have not because you ask not. Now, 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. How you want others to treat you
And maybe those people treat me. I'm supposed to treat them the same way. Not them treat me one way, me do them something else. That won't work.
And we're told here that that goes by the law and the prophets even. Now, 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You've heard me preach that many times about broad is the way to destruction, and there'll be more walk that way than will walk the straight and narrow. There'll be more of mankind lost than saved, and a whole lot more. And the Word lets us know that. And it's all because of their own choice. Because God has given us everything we need to make heaven our home. But we've got to choose the right way to go and learn the right things. He goes on here with 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Because you see, Jesus is the gate. He's that straight gate. He's that narrow way. And we know there's few finding him. A whole lot fewer finding him than walking that broad way and following after Satan and things of this world out here. And he comes on to warn us about some things here, beginning here with 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravaging wolves. What's he talking about here? Beware of false prophets. You see, he's talking about those that are leading mankind contrary to the word of Almighty God, leading them down pathways that they should not be taking them down. You see, that is a perfect picture and description of those preachers who have denied and distorted the truth of God's word. Those that want to walk contrary to God's word. They come kind of quietly. They come kind of meekly. They come looking real good. But they come teaching the wrong thing. And as the scripture calls them, they come like wolves. Because they have come and they're destroying instead of helping. 16. How can we know them? Well, 16 tells us. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Their fruits refers not only to action of their lives, but also to the doctrines they proclaim. Think about that. Look how many different walls man has built today
And yet, they're calling it doctrines. Doctrine is a wall that's been built that divides people. I can't have nothing to do with you, Brother James. You're an old Baptist. I'm not Baptist, so I can't have nothing to do with you. You turn around and you tell Brother Kenny, Brother Kenny, I'm Baptist. You're Presbyterian. I can't have nothing to do with you. Walls. It's been built. It should never have been built. There is only one church. And that's the Lord's church. I don't care what name you stick out front. It's not that name out front that's going to get you to heaven. It's what's inside. But they took those walls and they changed the word of God to suit themselves and to make them different than others. And it caused divisions. And that should never have happened. But, like I say, that's the way things are. We go on now here into 17. He says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Well, we know that, and we know what he's talking about. That one that is walking with evil in their hearts can't bring forth good fruit. But those that belong to God, that are really and truly born again children of God, they will work and bring forth good fruits, and they'll not be dabbling and playing in the evil fruits. They won't do it. Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to let them. And you find that again in 1 John, 3rd chapter. Tells us. You know, once you are born again, you can't sin. John tells you that. Because his seed, God's seed, remains in you when you're born again. That's the Holy Spirit. And he tells you plainly, you cannot sin because his seed is there. Well, now, Pastor Noah, you're getting way out there now and things are just not so. We just don't believe that. Well, let's find out what God's Word's got to say about it. We'll look at 3 John. 1 John, 3rd chapter. Here's what it says about you being born again, starting with verse 9. Well, let's start with 8. Keep it on the setting where it's wrote. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Does not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Can't get no plainer than that. So all these out here that's telling them, well, you know, I've got some sin in my life. Well, they ain't born again. It's God's word. Now,
19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now he's letting you know if you like that tree, you ain't a good tree, one day you're going to be cast into the fire. 20. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. You see their lives. You see what their lives are producing. Whether they are really working for God or they're working for the ways and things of this world. And are they living by God's word? That's the way we will know. Oh boy. This next verse. 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And how many times in a run of a week can you, will you sit in front of that television and hear some preacher tell mankind all you've got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you're saved? Not according to the word. I'm supposed to call on his name, yet. I'm supposed to go to him. I'm supposed to take my sins so he can forgive my sins. I'm supposed to invite him to come into my life. But I am also to walk according to the will of God the Father. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he, those that will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, that's the ones that's going to make it, that is walking and living this word and doing what the word says to do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Well, I'm going to stand and tell him that. We've done all these things. But see, their heart's not right. Because they're not born again. Their heart's not right. And here's what they're going to hear him say in answer. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. When you want to walk contrary to the word of God and making things say things they don't say in order to make things your way, that's what's going to happen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Those that will live by the word of Almighty God are the ones that's going to be with him throughout eternity. Because they've been like that wise man that built his house on a rock. And when the storms came and the winds blew, that house didn't fall. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It was founded on God's word, and it doesn't come any stronger than that. And everyone that heareth these of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Those that will not heed the word of Almighty God and live by it. Not going to be able to stand. And they'll sure not make heaven their home. And with these next two verses, we'll close. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. When people ask you, what doctrine are you? They ask me all the time, what doctrine do you teach? I teach Bible. Yeah, but what doctrine? I teach the Apostles' Doctrine. That's what the Bible is. And that's what we're told to teach. In fact, he tells me, if I come teaching anything else, I'm cursed. He tells me to preach the Apostles' Doctrine. That's what we're all taught to teach. He don't pull no punches either. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And we know that Jesus had all the authority. We know the scribes in that day and time didn't have any. But Jesus did. And that is the longest sermon in recorded in the Bible. And that's why it has took 2 weeks and five different services to get it preached. But we have seen a lot of things. And we've been through a lot of things that we need to change in our lives so that we can grow strong and make heaven our home. Be that child of God that we're supposed to be. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word for the day, Father, we're thanking you for your word. We're thanking you for the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time where we can come together to share your word, to grow stronger thereby, to have greater knowledge, for our faith to grow stronger so that we can live according to your will and your way and not ours or mankind's. And Father, for your saints that scattered the world, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. But right now, Father, they're not having any peace. They're surrounded all around by enemies. Rockets being fired in to their land every day, Father. And we're praying for peace for them. But even more than that, Father, we're praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their King of Kings, and as their Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned its back and walked so far away, and they did it without any excuse whatsoever. They took Jesus out of every place he was in, trying to do away with your word, the Holy Bible, calling it a book of hate speech, calling your people, those that are called Christians, they're calling them domestic terrorists. Father, we need the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives to keep us steady, to keep us strong, to keep us proclaiming your gospel, Father, not man's, but your gospel, to help put this nation to repentance and to help our government to be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we need a revival, a great revival in this land of ours. Let it begin with us, Father. Travel throughout this community, throughout this state, into other states until it crosses and crisscrosses this land of ours, to bring about that repentance, Father, that is needed. And now, Father, for our prayer list tonight. Just as this morning, Father, as these names are called, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch each one, to bring about the infilling for whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis, Father, that is listening to us online this evening. Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for our brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father. These men all come from different walks of life. They belong to different churches. They belong to churches, Father, that has set up walls. We need them when they come together to work together in one mind and one accord to tear these walls down, Father, and bring their brothers and sisters into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his church. Not man's, but his church. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. For Luke Bess and the Church of God of Brandenburg. For Pastor Randy Johnson. For the Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there. Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. Father, these churches, they need to be lighthouses to the community in which they stand. These pastors need to walk close to where they can be filled overflowing with the Holy Spirit so they can keep these churches on that pathway of righteousness. And for this young man, Will, Father, that is ordained in as a minister, my prayer for Will is that his teacher was the Holy Spirit and that he is the minister you want him to be. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie, Father, we lift them up, put them in your hands. You know what the need is there. And that little full gospel church of God there at Ekron, Father, I pray that you can keep one in there, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit, to bring that church not only as a lighthouse, but as a place of refuge to where the lost can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, for my young friends in Pakistan, Pastor Arun Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. We know that they walk in lands, Father, to where they're caught, if they're caught, can mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, for the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family, my family, and for each and every one, each and every family that will hear this message. Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to work within these families, turning those that are walking in darkness from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Malbillo and her mother, for Sue, for Palance, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch them, Father, in a mighty and great way so that they know that that healing came from you and not from man. Now, Father, this church, it's yours. You set me here as an overseer. Father, use me to make it the church you want it to be. Not my way, but your way. And Father, be with us throughout this week. Keep us day and night according to your will, according to your way, and bring us all back together again come Thursday night when you can put us back into your word. Father, this is my prayer this evening. Use me, Father. Use me greatly, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his sweet, precious name, that name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great night. Walk now throughout the remainder of this week until Thursday evening at 6 p.m. God willing, we can all come together again back into his word. So until then, good night and God bless.